This podcast is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability, criminal prosecution, and the wrath of the tall man.
Boy!
Hey, let's talk about you. The ID10T community events at ID10T.com, like Russ Stevens, a.k.a. Cool Movies Darth, who has started a podcast called 90 for Chill, which Russ says is dedicated to movies with a runtime between 74 and 99 minutes, the time frame that I feel is ideal. Russ, I could not agree with you more. That is a fantastic idea. Russ goes on to say, there are times you need a cinematic fix but don't have time for the latest Scorsese masterpiece or offering from a comic book universe. There's also times when you know you need a conclusion to prevent a binge costing you a whole night. My guests and I try to follow these guidelines as we chat up features that are definitely worth your time and are beyond easy to make time for. 90 for Chill, the podcast, can be found on all major podcast platforms at 94chill.com, and that's spelling out 90, N-I-N-E-T-Y, 4-F-O-R, chill. So there you go. Thank you so much for sharing, Russ. Really great idea for a podcast. Events at ID10T.com for everyone else.
Previously on 90 for Chill, the podcast.
This bride,
I can't wait to be a part of your family,
is here for the right reasons.
Your vows were beautiful.
But his family,
hide and seek,
is playing games.
Good luck.
On August 23rd.
That's insane.
They think they had to kill you before sunrise.
I just saw her run.
Oh my God!
I gotta put on my game face.
Jeez.
Ready or not, rated R. Watch the trailer online now.
Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
All right, so I never thought it was going to be 3 days on Zoom in a row, but you know, job interview and recording for the podcast, which will probably, that one will probably air first, you know, first tees, I suppose. But we are back with 90 for Chill, the podcast, and ready or not, we are ready for Ready or Not. That was overly redundant, one too many readies, but that is what I've got Michael Dubois on the line for. This is a movie, I think he even dropped that he wanted to do this on the Bill and Ted podcast. I think that that may have made air. So, I mean, that portion of the conversation.
I believe so, because we were talking about Samara Weaving. I keep trying to call her Sandra. Samara Weaving. And how good she was in Bill and Ted Face the Music, and it just reminded me how much I loved her in this movie, which I, if I remember correctly, is probably one of the first movies I ever saw her in.
Well,
fairly recently.
Yeah, well, I know it was before, year before Bill and Ted made it out to theaters. Mm-hmm. Just trying to pull up a little info on her. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just say, you know, Aussie with I think Guns Akimbo is one I've been meaning to check out.
Oh, it's, that one's so good.
Yep.
I love that one too.
And no, she's reason enough. I think I was gonna check out Snake Eyes. And I guess she's the killer babysitter in The Babysitter on Netflix. Directed by Mick G, probably best known for his music videos and Terminator Salvation, which I thought it was a passable action movie. I mean, talking about the Terminator is just like having to acknowledge all those twists that the franchise went on.
Okay, hold on though. He did the Charlie's Angels movies.
I feel like, yeah. Well, I didn't have any. I didn't have any desire to ever see a Charlie's Angels movie. I mean, the only reason
you're missing out. You're missing out. Those movies are cheesy as hell, and they're great.
Well, I mean, you got Crispin Glover.
Yes.
I'm still a. I know he was a total shit on set, but I never. Yeah, I never dismissed the power of Murray. So. Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of disappointed. Wrestler who had returned from his spinal stenosis surgery brought new gear with him, and like, dude, you're not wearing the Bill Murray knee pad anymore. Like, it's that classic, you know, t-shirt design, just Bill Murray looking sophisticated. Been overly done so many times, but.
I'm sorry. I'm going through McGee's
filmography.
Well, sort of. He was executive producer on Supernatural, which was what I was going to bring up next.
Okay.
I was just going for confirmation in case it was somebody else that I'm misfaking. But in finding that out, I also found out he was executive producer for one of my favorite comic book shows. Which was Human Target. So I am
okay. Yeah, that was I know that was a big thing they were showing on the El Rey network back when I had cable.
Yeah, I thought. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think it aired on Fox originally, if I remember correctly.
Oh, I don't know. Like, I think it could have been one of those because it's still. What early 2000s that could have still been in the syndicated like VIP
I'm sorry, like, because I watched this when it came out and it was on prime time on Fox in 2010.
Geez, I didn't realize it was that still that new, all things considered. I just knew like
there was also a TV series that was on ABC in 92.
Okay,
but I was just born in 92, so I didn't watch that one.
Right. Yep. I get it.
Hold on. Let me see if I'm older. I am older. I'm older than this TV series by 4 days.
Ah, jeez. Yeah. No. I get. I was born during the Carter administration. So.
Jeez.
Just the end of it. I mean, and so, yeah, I've seen probably some of the darkest times in modern history.
Yeah, same. Well, I mean, you've seen a little bit more than I have.
Yeah. Oh, no, the entire Reagan era.
U.S. president, remembering the order of U.S. presidents. Like, I've been saying for, like, the last couple of months that basically the world ended in 1984 because, like, culturally we've been, like, circling that drain for, like, decades. And also between Ronald Reagan and, I keep forgetting her name, the Iron Lady. What's her name?
The Milk Snatcher, Margaret Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher.
I think if you want to speak poorly of her, you call her by her nickname, Peg.
No, I can't do that. I can't do that for many reasons. Margaret, yeah. Like the neoliberal apocalypse was caused by those two. So like the final stages of it were instituted because of those two.
I mean,
we're living through that. Go us.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I think 2016, I mean, obviously, it was held off for a good 22 years, though. I mean,
well,
Brexit, Boris Johnson, and of course, the Trump administration, that was all.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the natural progression, though, is that, like, that's what that leads to, is that eventually, or it opens the door for fascism to
return. I'm just saying everything operates faster, so I'm kind of amazed that we lasted 20 years, or 30 years, actually.
Well, Well, like the thing about it is like I follow some historians on like TikTok and various other platforms, and they've been talking about this, and like it really is true that time is a flat circle and we learn nothing, because like a lot of the things that are happening now, like clearly there are differences. We have the internet now,
yeah,
like, all that, but like we took a very large detour off of Ready or Not. I just realized where we are.
But you know, it's not that far a detour because it's
the themes of the movie are aligned with what we're talking
about. Right. So I mean, really the only thing and I think we'd want to hold on to that is the interpretation of the twist, which the more times I've watched it, it's really not that surprising a twist, which I don't know, Maven. So there's a lot of things about this. As they say, it's not. I don't, on Letterboxd, which does, you know, best of 5 stars with half stars. I put this about 3.5. I think there's just so many tonal changes, and I've been watching a lot of what I would say Home Alone movies, in a sense. Not so much this one because it's not very trap based, but a lot of incompetence. So I guess you could say Marvin, there's Harry a lot of, there.
Yeah. So I saw on IMDb it was listed as being at 6.9 nice on their star scale.
Yeah, no,
I agree with that assessment.
It was like, well received, but it was well received critically.
I saw this in theaters because I saw that trailer where she like just rips the
wedding dress,
the wedding dress. Jeez. And then she just has like the bandolier and the gun. And I'm like, okay, that movie looks cool. And that trailer was deceiving. It sold the movie, but.
Well, honestly, like I was surprised, like how all the commercials and the adverts, it made it seem like just a typical PG-13 action movie.
I saw like some of the dark dark comedy undertones in there, but yeah, when you get there it's a dark or perhaps even black comedy, you could say.
Because
there's some very brutal murders in this.
I was about to say, like, shocking. A lot of the ways that go, you know, as long as the brain's dead, it's all right. The entire servants.
The servants are what I was talking about. They do a lot to not directly show you they'll show you the gore of it,
right,
very briefly,
yeah, they're but not then it's
like everything's
it.
Off camera, yeah, yeah, and I think that that's worse.
I don't know. I think it's all a mood thing, but I think for this film it definitely works better, which again it kind of makes me think like you could have, like, it goes back to James Wan and Saw, like basically he saw the first cut of Saw and it's like, yeah, you got F-bombs, but otherwise I just created another PG-13 thriller, police procedural, and then so like he had to go back and add all the gore, you know, going through the stomach, you know, taking photos the photos of the guy who gets his head blown off. I guess it's really all about what kind of market you're going for. So I was actually and probably disappointed when this came out, because I was really pumped for The Hunt, which I knew was going to be straight up brutal. And that one I think was my number two discovery from 2020. Cronenberg still reigns the top, finding his stuff. Like, oh, geez. So it was The Fly for 2021 and Videodrome for 2020.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I've seen most of his stuff by now, so I don't think he'll three-peat, but which, yeah, I mean, The Hunt, I expected brutal, I expected black comedy, and then, you know, that one gets held off for, I don't know, the Let's Go Brandon crowd, which is sad if you've seen The Hunt, like the final, when you finally get to the third act, you know, it explains, and we're all assholes.
Yeah.
And yeah. I mean, I'd still say the people being hunted were worse, but yeah. You know, that's splitting hairs there.
Yeah. Yeah, hunting people for sport, like, nah. Like, yeah. Like that's probably like there's a lot to unpack there. And I feel like, now granted, I haven't watched this movie,
oh, so you see, know that's what just you're talking about. Okay, yeah, it's Hilary Swank's the biggest name in it.
Okay.
And it's basically, oh, so the liberals have trapped a bunch of conservatives, podcasters and everything, put them on a little land in Connecticut, and are going to hunt them for sport, and it's happened for decades. And then again, you got to watch the first two acts and then realize, this is basically an ode to the end of satire, I guess is how I'd put it. Like,
yeah.
And yeah, the sheer fact that the film got delayed until after the, till I think just, there must have been a mass shooting.
Probably,
yeah. So it was a 20.
I mean, there's one like every 3 days or something here in the United States. So it wouldn't surprise me.
I mean,
I don't think
talking high body count mass shooting. So those are usually every 3 months, but because a mass shooting is technically 4 people. I think it's just that.
It's sad that we have to make that distinction. We live in such a desensitized time,
the problem. Yeah. We're not supposed to be desensitized. Like the
it's, like 4 people getting shot in one go is a big deal.
Yeah.
Then we get these like 20, 30, 40 people.
Right. No, that's yeah, it's you know, again, it's a blame the rich situation, and
there's some validity to that. I will say that I am based, but you know,
yeah. Oh, it's basically, I think our entire problem is that poor white people think if they act like rich white people, they're the same, and it's like, no.
Yeah. Yeah, like that's the lie that they're sold.
Yeah,
like that's what people like Tucker Carlson, you know, Ben Shapiro, Steven Crowder, like all of these people sell that. They're right. Just like, if you act like a big strong person, then you are a big strong person,
right? And obviously they're the definitely the weakest people out there, because strong or the most hypocritical, obviously, you know.
Yeah
Jesus kind of explains strength to you, like,
I was watching somebody who was talking in depth about Steven Crowder, and I now hate Steven Crowder so very much, because like he made a video in response to coming back to YouTube after they like, you know, kicked him off for lying about vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
And the video was in the theme of the mid movie montage in Tombstone, And so, Tombstone is one of my favorite movies ever for nostalgic reasons. And because it's a good movie.
Oh yeah, no, Tombstone is a story, is something that should not have worked. Because basically Kurt Russell ended up doing all the directing, which is very common with that director, George Costamos, who basically got the credits for a bunch of Stallone movies. No, he's basically the guy who says, we have to get this done on time.
Yeah.
And then,
I mean, that person is valuable.
Yeah. No,
as somebody who often ends up in the group projects as that person, they're important.
Yes. Right. But it's, it's a celebration of fascism, in a sense that we're just going to, once you get to the martial portion of it, like it's
you're laying down the law at that point,
and
frontier justice and everything. And I recognize that, and I also recognize why right wingers like it,
you get more ridiculous stuff with right wingers embracing They Live, like a John Carpenter film with
I'm sorry, that one can't be right. There's no way.
I can understand
them getting the wrong message from American History X. I can understand them getting the wrong message from Fight Club. I cannot see how you can read that movie wrong.
they think it's a QAnon story, basically.
Oh, like, god damn it, you're right. Oh yeah. No.
It supports all their there's definitely a conspiracy, so it can't be us. No, it's
it's not like there's no secret cabal of billionaires that are running everything. There's a very public cabal of billionaires that are running everything.
Yes.
I can tell you their names offhand. Rupert Murdoch, the remaining Koch brother, whose first name I don't know. Dennis Prager, all these people. We know who they are. They're the ones who own everything. And are telling you that if you just... Yeah,
it's you're right. And never mind Joel Osteen and
Oh God, I didn't. I've never thought of Joel. I've never thought of him that way. But you're right. Now that you put it in that context.
Well, and then you have not the Robertsons. They're a little bit, but I mean, who was the. Yeah, I can't remember the name of the guy who was the pastor to all the presidents up until his death, Billy Graham. So you had the Grahams too. So no, they gotta have that face of being pure and nice and all that bollocks. And of course the irony, we're talking about Ready or Not, which ends up kind of like I by the end of it, I don't really, it's really hard to sit on the I guess, again, you'd say the twist. Like the first time I watched the movie, it's like, yeah, I should have figured it out when they were there's a barn full of goats.
I don't know if I saw that as a twist.
It's so easy conclusion. Yeah,
it's so obvious. From the story, story that he tells at the beginning, where he's just like, yeah, this is how this happened. It was so your great grandfather made a deal with the devil. Okay, cool. Got it.
Okay.
They just didn't actually say it until the end.
Oh no. Well, you should have, Mr. LeBel. No, you spell that back. It's an anagram for a Hebrew term that is devil.
Oh, I like that.
Actually. So no, it's like, yeah, was it really that obvious? And then, of course, the moment you got the Fitch, which I think they could have probably got a lot more out of him. Fitch. I guess it. Fitch, the brother-in-law.
Oh yeah.
He's even he's even doing a search on his phone. So the Hebrew term is Belial.
So, again,
it just comes to me a lot like Angel Heart. If you've seen that movie with Mickey Rourke and Robert De Niro in a, I'd say third bill, honestly, 1987, Alan Parker, I think is the name of the director who did a lot of musicals and stuff. I think he did Evita, but it's a movie. That movie is about Mickey Rourke as a detective hired to find this guy who by, mysterious man named Louis Cipher, which, you know, it's like so obvious, but then you kind of go through the story and then it's like, oh yeah, Lou Cipher. It's good enough that you don't think about it until like the moment where our and protagonist, should have known this from the beginning.
Really should have put two and two together there, man.
So that one's worth a watch. I think it's the movie that got Lisa Bonet kicked off of the Cosby Show, actually.
Really? Oh, okay. That makes it triply worth it then.
Yeah. So
please tell me De Niro plays Lucifer.
Yes, he does.
Oh, thank God. Okay, yeah. Cool. Perfect.
So 1987, before he kept having kids and needs to take on any job. So you got Fitch at one point where he's searching on his phone and then somebody texts him. Mm-hmm. Hey, what's up? Nothing. Family bullshit. I should have picked up on it. There's so many things where you should have picked up on it. Like, if I was a Satanist, I would be angry at this movie. Like,
agree. Yeah.
You know what I mean,
well, okay. So what's funny is that there are like two different versions of Satanism. There's the correct one, which was the one that was basically created as a fuck you to the Christian church.
Yeah.
They don't actually believe in Satan.
Satan. Yes, you don't have to. You can be an atheistic Satanist.
Yeah.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, they're the actual like teachings of the faith are entirely based in atheism. It has nothing to do with the character Lucifer or Satan or whatnot. They just use that imagery as a smack you to Christians.
Yes.
Like but then there's the weird ones who actually like believe in that Satan worshiping stuff.
Right.
And they're the weird ones.
Yeah,
they're the ones who would probably be pleased by this. I don't know. I'm not one of them, and I don't actually know anybody who's like that.
Right. So. But of course, we're not supposed to. They're all rich people. But what I would say a good movie about Satanism, or if I should say a fun movie. I'm not good is questionable. Nicolas Cage in Drive Angry.
Oh okay. Yeah,
so like there's William Fichtner, I think is his name, plays the guy from hell trying to bring Nicolas Cage back, you know, and he's even upset about the satanic cult, which I think the what's his name, David Morrissey, the governor from The Walking Dead, is the head of the cult, obviously. Not his first Satanist movie. That would be the
Reaping. I was about to say if you would have told me that actor had never played the head of a Satanist cult in anything, I would have actually been surprised. So
yeah, well,
like, he just has that vibe.
Yes, the Reaping's the first time I saw him in portray a Satanist.
I mean, he has big cult leader vibes,
right?
And I know because I've been a part of like three cults. So, Two on accident.
Oh, no, no. I mean, you rarely go into a cult knowing that you're going into a cult. That's the charm of the cult.
For the record, the one that I joined on purpose is the cult of inaccurate perception.
I mean, I've always stood by the thrill kill cult myself. So,
which one's Thrill Kill Cult? I've never heard
of that. Oh, My Life with the Thrill Kill Cult. It's a industrial band that has ties to good old Chicago and the Wax Trax label. Nice. Probably their best known song would be Sex on Wheels.
I gotcha. I was testing to see if you were aware of what, or if you were aware of what the cult of the inaccurate perception is.
No, I'm not actually.
It is the cult that or it is the quote unquote cult that Richard O'Brien created around.
Okay, no, now, yeah, show. No. I'm more than familiar with the moment you said Richard O'Brien. Oh yeah,
yeah,
I mean, I've seen.
There's one of two things that can be linked to Richard O'Brien, and one of them is much more well known.
Yes,
although I will say that Look What I Did to My Id still slaps to this day.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, so we've talked a lot about the Satanism aspect of it. But I want to talk about why I love this movie.
Oh, obviously. That's
yeah. I've rewatched it a couple of times in the last few weeks. And so like the movie itself isn't really the reason. And the reason why I like this movie is entirely Samara Weaving's character.
I had a feeling about that. Like
the bride. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just saying I had a feeling about that with the coincidental name, I guess, in this case, Grace. Grace.
Yeah. Yeah. I have been referring to her as the bride, and I know that has big Kill Bill energy,
right?
But I feel like that's appropriate. Now I want to see a movie where Samara Weaving and it, or where Uma Thurman plays Samara Weaving's mom. I need this now. Into the universe.
Well, I don't know. Maybe little B could have grown up and decided to bleach her hair. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, that's fair.
Well, our protagonist is tougher than she ever expected to be. I kind of wish she would have. And I took a note of that. Like, I could have used a little more John McClane vibes from her.
Yeah,
I mean, like, I guess it's a tonal thing. Like, right, if she'd be a little more smart alecky than she even is, I mean, with her entire monologue at the beginning, which, you know, to your moderately effed up family.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted that a little more out of her, and it's honestly that's the stuff what they do to her in the movie, which again makes her tougher. But I mean, she's really.
I disagree with that. Actually, I she was that tough coming into it, but she's also a human being,
right?
And that's I think that's my favorite thing about her character is that like. The shit starts to go down and she's in shock for like the first 5 to 10 minutes. And that's a natural reaction. That is something don't necessarily have control over. But once she's gotten over the shock and once she's accepted the situation, she's like, okay, I'm doing this now. So now I have I know all of these skills that I've had to use from my past.
Right.
And which, I'm going to apply them to this situation because now, unfortunately, I find myself in a more extreme version of situations I've been in the past.
Right. But they really just gloss over her past trauma, not even really suggesting that it was trauma. I mean, I don't know how you get out of the foster care system without trauma.
Yeah.
But,
and yeah, like me personally, I'm a trauma survivor, so I recognize it. Like there's a lot of like they don't explicitly say a lot,
right,
but like I watch this and I go, that is a person who's been through some shit and they've had to deal with it and they've done the best they could. They haven't always done it the best way, but they can handle their shit.
Yeah.
And
right. I guess it's still I kind of like to an extent, like it's great to see her be very tough, like when she squeezes through the fence. It's like,
yeah,
but I really didn't need to see her cut herself up like that. Or
yeah,
the entire, like, you're really gonna set up that nail bit.
Yeah,
it's bad enough that you shot her in the hand. Like, I would have, you know, I may have made the decision to go and punch the kid and then throw him into there, but
like, yeah, that would have upset some of the sympathetic vibes that they were going for. But
after I'm shot, I am somebody who, like, you know,
I'm a petty bastard too. I get it too.
Oh, well, like, I wouldn't say I'm petty. I'm a guy who, like, when we were was talking with Gregory for our podcast that we did about Deadly Games, which is on Shudder right now. Also known as, like, it was basically,
Deadly Games.
So Deadly Games, I think the French title was originally Dial Code Santa Claus. So, and this it's on Shudder. This is 1989.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and the director had the nerve to say, I should sue 20th Century Fox, John Hughes, and Chris Columbus for Home Alone. It's like, no, I don't think you, but I don't think you have that case there. Then again, everything, I mean, there's a lot of everything is dark now and everything, but everybody still has Home Alone vibes. Like I didn't see it as Home Alone. I didn't see Home Alone as a ripoff of Deadly Games. Deadly Games came out a year prior. I mean, some crazy shit in Deadly Games. I mean, you got a boy genius who thinks he's Rambo until the shit goes down. Yeah. Still a boy genius, and it's great cat and mouse with the Santa Claus character character trying to kill. Well, you think he's trying to kill him. Like, it's got a lot of more of a tonal mess than. And I'm not saying that Ready or Not is a tonal mess, but a lot of tonal shifts. Like, I could have probably enjoyed Ready or Not if we really just, I guess this is the Home Alone vibe. Like, we could have really just focused on the incompetence of the Domus.
Yeah, the family.
Yeah.
So, like, it's funny because, like, you mentioned, like, you were talking about, like the main character having John McClane, like you wanted to see her have, like, one-liners. And, like, now that I'm thinking about it, like, I bet there's a cut of this movie where that is what it is. Like, they made the movie and she's you know, pulling a Bruce Willis. She's commenting on things.
Right.
They were just, and I'm willing to bet that they didn't do that because she's a woman and that wouldn't have flied, because people don't want to see a woman be John McClane. They want to see a woman get tortured and then have men save her, which is effectively what happens in the movie.
As much as
she saves herself, like, there are several moments where
she is hoping Alex comes through and saves him. Yeah,
but also knowing in her heart of hearts that that's not what's going to happen.
Well, if you would have just left Andy McDowell concussed, maybe.
No. I think that that's the point. Like, that's the point of the movie, is that ultimately these people will sacrifice everything for
what they have,
to maintain what they have,
right?
Like, it does not matter, like, the love of their life, the person that makes them feel like they're better or whatnot, they will literally sacrifice that person to maintain the power and control that they have. And at least that's my read of it.
I could see that, and I think that might have just been, again, me being a hopeful person. And like, I was talking to Gregory about how we want to see conclusions in movies and stuff, like I was saying, like, it was a commentary on a wrestling match, a intergender wrestling match, which was like the third interaction they had with each other. I had not seen anything prior, and I was just telling my trainer, Danny Daniels, who put on that match, who promoted that match, like, I really wanted to see the entire the winner of the match was Heidi Lovelace. She now goes by Ruby Soho. She signed AEW, and I'm really still angry she didn't get the TBS championship, but that's an entirely different. But the fact of the matter is, like, I wanted to see her, beat, instead of winning with a quick roll up and just showing that she's the better wrestler. I wanted to see her get to the point of vengeance where it's like lethal weapon, when Mel Gibson's beaten Gary Busey, and it's like, no, and Danny Glover pulls him off. No, it's not worth it. And then they just shoot him afterwards. Yeah. Like, I want to, that's kind of my vibe, is like, I don't want to see I don't want to see the hero go to the point where, basically, like, I love the first two DCEU movies. I dug Man of Steel. I totally got behind Henry Cavill, breaking Zod's neck, and like, I screwed up. And then, and I unapologetically love Batman v Superman. I'm pretty much the only person there, as far as I can tell.
But I need to ask this, because I rant about this so often that I need to make sure that I haven't done this before. Have I done my Batman versus Superman rant?
No, you have not. Not here.
Okay. Just so my problem with Batman versus Superman has nothing to do with the movie. My problem, or like anything that happens in the movie, I should say. My problem is that movie exists, period. Somebody pitched this movie to a room full of producers, and they were like, yeah, let's do that, because Marvel's doing their Civil War thing, so, this will go head-to-head with it. Not thinking at all about why, like, the Civil War movie is happening.
You had eight films prior.
You had several movies that were setting up the conflict between Captain America and Iron Man, and this was the payoff to that. So it stands to reason that if they wanted to compete with Civil War, and honestly, they very well could have like done this thing.
Oh no, they decided to go right at it out of the gate.
The foreplay and just went right in raw with sandpaper lube, and it just didn't work. And the reason why is because they had to introduce the new Batman and then give them an arbitrary reason to be against Superman. When in all of the comic stories, like, maybe not all of them, but no, all of the ones I've read and enjoyed, like, Batman and Superman don't want to fight one another.
No.
They end up doing it because they have to.
Yeah.
And
Ronald Reagan, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Reagan. I'll see you when I get to hell. You're literally the first on my list, you son of a bitch. Anyways,
no, but, I didn't have any problem with the, like, as somebody who reads a hell of a lot of comic books, not a hell of a lot, in all honesty, but yeah. I you know, Dark Knight Returns and Red Sun, which is like the first time I ever spent over $50 on a Funko Pop was to get the Superman Red Sun.
Fair enough. I will, for the sake of transparency, I've never read The Dark Knight Returns. I watched the 2-part movie.
I haven't read it myself either. And I did.
Peter Weller as Bruce Wayne / Batman is just everything I needed. I needed RoboCop to beat the shit out of some bad guys. I needed RoboCop to look Superman in the eyes, the windows of his soul, and be like, I want you to think about me in your most intimate moments and know that I won.
Right. Like,
oh
yes, but no, I'm just saying, it's easy to, in the end, it's easy to find why the Batman, I mean,
yeah,
like, could do that right off the bat. It takes away everything we love about DC animated movies, especially. That's another Gregory Carl podcast we did. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's it's
the same thing with Suicide Squad.
Oh no, like, the Suicide Squad, you could have done that way. It's just that that was total interference on behalf of the studio.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Like that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Is like the first Suicide Squad, not the Suicide Squad.
No.
But like, they already told that story in one of the best ways. It was just animated.
Oh yes, and, Assault on and Arkham. They were,
yeah, Assault on Arkham is amazing. That movie was amazing.
Yep.
And they could have just done that live action and it would have been perfect. Like,
well,
like, even with the Jared Leto Joker.
I like the idea that there is a Jared Leto Joker.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
I'm not a fan. Honestly, The Dark Knight is one of my least favorite comic book movies. I find it runs too long. It definitely wasted Two-Face. Never mind, if Heath Ledger would not have won the Oscar, They wouldn't have given Sean Penn the Oscar for Milk. They would have given Josh Brolin the Oscar for Milk, and hence Ricky Rourke would get his Oscar for The Wrestler. And you know, that's my take on it. So I got another horse in the race there, but I think it was like the Joker is not as like, maybe it's too nuanced in The Dark Knight.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Right. I mean, I think I want it, like, the Joker himself, the character of the Joker, has never been one I want to, you know, I just want to see the world burn, I think. I mean, he's the cat and mouse, like, especially at The Dark Knight Returns. Like, you know, I exist because the Batman needs me to exist.
And well, I think that in defense of The Dark Knight,
I'm not saying Heath Ledger was bad at all. It's just I prefer Jack Nicholson, and
I do particularly enjoy Jack Nicholson's Joker as well. Barry Gunn. Sorry, Barry.
Bob.
Oh, it's Bob.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. Which I get my B names mixed up.
Oh well,
because that was a reference to Bob Kane, right?
Probably. Okay. Which honestly, gosh, Tim Burton, that's more dead on the nose, and you probably didn't realize it. I get on Tim Burton a lot. I mean, I love the Batman. I love Batman. I love Batman Returns. Mm. But no, the sheer fact you have Michael Keaton smiling as he pulls the pin on a bomb on Sid Haig as a clown. No, I get it. Like, I think if I was in that situation, no, this no kill rule is BS. If I can get a, if I can get the last laugh on somebody.
I also like Michael Keaton as Batman.
Yeah, if the Flash movie works, everything all is right with the world.
Oh my goodness, I totally forgot about that.
Yes,
that he's going to be in that movie.
Right,
it's literally the only reason why I give a shit about that movie.
Yeah,
I am not the biggest DC fanboy. I like Batman was my was the superhero that I said was my favorite for a long time.
Well, you grew up in the 90s where like you had Batman the Animated Series, which I know is, and that is for
100%.
And for me, I mean, you had, so I grew up on the Batman, like, honestly, like syndicated television before
Adam West.
Right, before Fox 43 was Fox 43. It was just an independent station in Bloomington. And so, yeah, everything was syndicated, like the Munsters, Batman. Yeah. So I knew it from there. And yeah, so it's kind of like Superman was about the only real superhero franchise at that time. Sorry, Dad, for dragging you out for number four.
Three. You're talking about the
Christopher Reeves.
Yeah.
I think
I recently watched. Well, recently, as in like in the last 2 years, I recently watched a video essay about Superman, and it legitimately changed how I felt about Superman, because I was that comic book person who was like, I hate Superman because you can't do anything to Superman. But that's not the point of Superman,
right?
Which is what I was failing to grasp.
No, it's not like I haven't told my sister and her brother-in-law, do they really need to go to church? You could just get them some Superman comics. It's the same thing.
I mean, I would argue that the Superman comics are probably better, but that's me. I was also 8 years old when a pastor made me cry because he told me I was going to hell for reading Harry Potter, not understanding that I was literally being raised in an abusive home and living under stairs. I was literally sleeping underneath stairs at that point.
my trauma's the stuff I never really, I probably still haven't dealt with.
Therapy, man. Therapy. Yeah,
well, I'm all about therapy. It's just you gotta find that right therapist. And
very true.
We live in the states, so that's a challenge. Order. Yes.
Yeah. I got particularly lucky with one for a few years, but then they moved to a different position and I lost access to them. And then I lost their phone number because we were supposed to stay friends afterwards, but that didn't work out. So,
I understand. Oh, well, I mean, that's a better story than me losing track to saying, why am I going to keep all these heroin dealers' phone numbers? So I got rid of them all. It's like, dude, there might just be a day where you just need to get a dime. Like, that was stupid. Yeah. Call, check on their health, care about your local drug dealers.
Exactly.
I'll advocate that. Yes.
Like, some of the coolest people I've ever met were drug dealers. Now, granted, to balance that out, some of the worst people I've ever met were drug dealers. So it's almost as if your occupation is not indicative of what you were like as a person.
Right. But with Ready or Not, it's definitely the rich are evil except for Adam Brody.
Okay. It's not even like, okay.
I'm just trying to bring it back on task.
Yeah, I get you. I was just, I was like, I'm trying to think of how I want to say this, but you're correct. Yes, the rich are terrible, and they are literally sacrificing goats and people to maintain their power and control, which is very reminiscent of real life. We're literally in a death cult. Like, we're just waiting for either coronavirus or climate change or whatever it is that's gonna get us, because nobody who's in power has any incentive to do anything about it, because anything that they all of the solutions to the problems that we have would mean them having to give up even just a fraction of what they have.
Oh, and no,
that is unobtainable to them.
Oh no, that's yes. I mean,
and there might be, you know, good quote unquote good billionaires, which there isn't actually that sort of thing, but for the sake of this perspective,
right,
there might be those people who are willing to give those things up if it means that we're able to solve these problems,
right? No, I would say you know, Bill Gates is working on solving those problems. Will he give enough?
No,
I'm saying, will he give enough money to do it? No, I think he's doing it so he can still have people to sell Windows to. I mean, it's worse than that,
actually, because Bill Gates is the reason why we don't have an open source version of the coronavirus vaccine. Him personally is the reason why we don't.
Well, and that's an international concern. I will go to Superman Red Sun. Like, we were able to defeat the communist Superman because we relied solely on ourselves, because we are in a country that has all the resources we'll ever need. But never mind
the fact that is not at all reflective of history, and that without interference the Soviet Union could have kicked the shit out of anything the United States was doing. Like, they were growing at a much faster rate.
The most embarrassing thing about how everything happened with the Cold War is that we had Afghanistan. That America had decided to go into Afghanistan. We should have learned from the Soviets.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go into a land that's nothing but mountains and heroin.
Well, that was part of the reason why we were there, because the CIA that's how they get their funds.
Yes, no,
like,
I...
But like that, that's not even a conspiracy theory. That is legitimately declassified. Yes. Like, they peddle drugs in those mountains.
I'm aware of that, but I'm just saying we didn't need an invasion beforehand.
Yeah.
Why did we do it then? No, you can't fight a war over just an idealism. Just an ideal.
Yeah.
Why Korea is a mess, and that's why we didn't win Vietnam. It's like, no, you can't do it just because of an ideology. 1812, I guess you did have the XYZ and the entire Brits kidnapping Americans sailors to make them serve for the British Navy, but again, that's really just ancillary bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like, we've only fought two legitimate wars, and
even then that's debatable.
Well,
to be honest,
that's like, not that, and I wasn't including the Civil War, so
no, I was talking, or because like, if you look at where the United States was politically at the time, the United States siding with the Allies makes no goddamn sense. They like they we were a very fascist country back then.
Yes.
And like, okay, in quotes back then.
I get that, but
yeah, like it's only because Japan sucker punched us that that happened.
No, we would never have gotten into the war without Japanese intervention. Everybody acknowledges that, and that's why Franklin Delano Roosevelt decided to ignore all the intelligence saying that Japan was going to attack us.
Yeah, well, and okay, so yeah, not only that, but another kind of hilarious slash tragic is that they had found a spy submarine approximately 12 hours before the attack on Pearl Harbor.
Oh yeah.
But the report didn't make it to top brass in time to stop the attack,
that,
or for them to prepare for the attack.
I'm of the, and it's brought up in The Dark Knight Returns. I'm actually on the we got the information, we were, you know, maybe, you know, and we weren't going, and Roosevelt wanted it to happen,
you know, that so. I honestly, like, that could very well have been the case.
Yeah,
but the version that I believe in is that, like, is that our the kind of government or the kind of military that we have is a big hulking inefficient thing.
Yes,
and it does not react well.
No, it's
quickly.
It's the same thing as the what caused the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't just go and put your soldiers on your own land.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going. That we don't need. You know, you don't need the largest army in the world to protect an island the size of California, probably closer to the size of Illinois. So,
no.
Yeah, it was military expansion is a horrible idea because you're going to have to, if you don't have a reason to use your military, it's going to backfire.
Yeah.
Again,
and not,
as you said, flat circle. Yeah. All the same. Like,
and the stuff that we learned in Afghanistan is that, like, splinter cells will kick the shit out of any large, highly structured military. Like, I follow a couple of veterans on various social medias, and hearing them talk about what it was like to be in Afghanistan and being like, yeah, no, we got our asses kicked. Like, it was not the us holding stalwartly against these people. It was them coming out of the mountains and just smacking, destroying us.
Well,
like,
it's one of those, you can't take the time to occupy something. You have to dominate something. Yeah. And we definitely had the resources to do so, but we didn't want to look like total heartless assholes.
Yeah.
Because
then at that point we start looking like conquerors, and that was the thing that caused World War II to happen.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I joked around, like, I don't mind John McCain saying bomb, bomb, bomb Iran. It's like, That would be ideal if we could just go and take the entire space between Iran and Afghanistan and just make it USA East. If we had that, no, I'm saying that's how it could have been won. It's not like
Like,
I'm not saying that's what we.
You're not advocating for that, but you're saying it would be more effective. That part I agree with.
Yes,
it would be horrifying, but it would be more effective.
So it's funny I say that because this girl, my hairdresser, have been trying to be flirtatious with. So it was saying, oh, somebody should take me to see Say Anything at the Virginia Theater in Champaign. It's like, oh, what time, what day? Ah, shit, I can't make that. But it's like, There's a. Are you familiar with John Cusack's Hitman movies?
Oh, Gross Point Blank.
Yeah, Gross Point Blank's the original, the classic, must see.
Uh-huh.
He about 2006, I believe.
Yeah, they made a sequel to that, didn't they?
A spiritual sequel, okay. Called War Incorporated.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
I've not heard of that one.
Yeah, War Incorporated, War Inc. Basically same kind of character. Hell, you got Dan Aykroyd in it as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
And Hilary Duff is a I guess you'd say Afghani pop star.
What?
Yes, no, there's so much crazy shit in it. You should watch it, my opinion. I love it.
Montel Kingsley's in this movie?
Yes, Montel Williams is the voice of the GPS for John Cusack's private plane, who basically serves as his therapist. Like it's just so much it's worth a watch. It might not work, but
oh, absolutely not. I can already tell just by looking at it, but just looking at the poster. But I want to. Oh, it's an incendiary political cartoon is the tagline.
Right.
Okay. So, that makes it a little better.
Yeah, it's as I say. I love it. I can see why it's not was not a obviously went straight to DVD.
Hilary Duff and brown face. What the
smack? It's not brown. It's not brown face. I mean, that's
pretty brown face. I'm looking at a direct picture here. That she is
okay.
Her skin tone is not that dark.
All right. Well, she grew up in that, but it's part of the twist in the end of the movie.
Oh,
so okay. Yeah, it's definitely not as bad as it since you have that, years. But. Again, it's like I loved Tropic Thunder, and yeah. I know a lot of people are reevaluating. No, you just can't do what they did. No, that's the entire reason they did what they did.
Yeah, yeah, so, no, like that. Yeah, no, we are having these conversations because of Tropic Thunder,
right?
Like that's the difference. Is that like this yeah. movie lampooned that they right. brought that shit out to surface and was like, this is the dumbest shit. Like we're gonna have Lenny Kravitz call that out at every
smacking
opportunity. Like,
right? It's like yeah, that no, it's yeah. Especially somebody. Well, that's probably part of my trauma.
This was the same year. I just realized 2008.
Yeah. Okay. Well, as I say, it was
Yeah, because Iron Man came out, then Tropic Thunder, then
War Inc.
Maybe then this.
But there's no way you could have sold War Inc., especially in 2008. Well, yeah 2008, because Obama wasn't president yet.
Yeah.
Which is a scary thought. Like, Mike Ditka could have ended any, could have destroyed the concept of the best president since Kennedy.
Wait, what?
Okay, 2004. Barack Obama uh-huh. runs for Senate.
Uh-huh.
The Republicans' best hope of winning Illinois Senate seat mm-hmm. was Mike Ditka, and Ditka chose not to run.
Huh. Who is Mike Ditka? I honestly
Mike Ditka, the that coach of the 1985 Chicago
Da Bears.
Yes,
got it.
Like okay. That was would have been a cult of personality.
That
yeah,
that's terrifying.
Right, but I'm saying I think it could have worked.
No, I'm saying it's terrifying because it could have worked. I mean, we literally okay, the United States literally elected the guy who is the inspiration between every movie villain in the 1980s. I'm yep. not joking.
No, he's the byproduct of every 80s. Like,
No. Like the directors have gone on record and saying that I based this character off of Donald Trump.
Some of them were based off Ted Turner.
Okay, fair enough.
So,
but King
Gremlin,
King Gremlin, Koopa. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, King Koopa. That's definitely Trump.
Yeah, King Koopa in the Super Mario Brothers movie is definitely Donald Trump. Biff Tannen from Back to the Future.
That's a Trump. Yeah. Yeah. Ted Turner had just a little more subtlety, and I think since he was a good old boy, we just didn't take him seriously. But Gremlins 2, that was supposed to be Donald Trump, and the actor decided to take it in a path of Ted Turner. Mm. So. Just the naivety. So I guess this is really just becoming a podcast about bashing the rich, which I'm not opposed to. Especially after I lost my job in banking. I'm just waiting for the unemployment to straighten itself out before I really start ripping into them. But
I'm currently in a situation of my own, and everything that we're doing is dumb. Like, we're doing it, like, everything that we could be doing correctly, we're not, and what we are doing, we're doing the dumbest way possible, and I hate it. I just wish that we would stop and just start doing better things. Maybe not the most correct things.
No, but we're not. We could solve all the problems all the problems could be solved, or at least on the path of solutions. Mm-hmm. If we just decided to say so. But yeah. Nobody, like, honestly, like the, here, like the I'm entire, sorry, okay. Well, the entire downfall of the Democratic Party did come from Obamacare, and that was because like everybody voted on the concept of yes we can and hope and change, and then we expected people to actually, all right, well, you know what, it's not free, you're gonna have to put an effort, put your work into it,
yeah,
and basically basically half the people who were for the changes that Obama ran on decided, mm-hmm, I don't want to give anything up or put effort into getting said stuff.
Like, because they shouldn't have to. Just provide those things.
Right. But
only thing that a government should exist for is allocating resources.
Right. But I'm just saying you tell somebody we're going to raise taxes.
Mm-hmm.
No, everybody's going to object to it. Doesn't matter, rich or poor.
Well, yeah, but there's also that is okay. That is true. But that's also why we shouldn't have those kinds of things to begin with.
Well, yes, now, like, we're going.
Money is fake. We don't need it.
Yes. now we're going into the stuff that didn't make the Commando podcast. Thank you, Zoom.
So for the end of our trilogy, of our first trilogy,
right,
we'll circle back to this. Money is fake, it's not based on anything, it's literally just numbers on a screen today,
yes,
like, especially in our day and age now, and if there's anything that proves that, it's cryptocurrency, because the difference between the United States dollar and Dogecoin
is the dollar says in God we trust.
Yes. Yep. That's it.
But dog spelled backward is God.
And you know what? I trust dogs. So there you go. That's why
I'm a cat person. I'd rather they just tell me what to do. It's easier.
To go off on one for a second, the problems that we have, the base problems, is not that we have wrong people in power. It's the fact that that power is consolidated as it is. It is the power itself that is the problem. It's the same thing with, well, how are we going to pay for these things? The answer is why the problem with that is that we have to pay for things, period. Yes,
right.
Like, there are things that we should just provide because it's better for society to do that. And are there going to be people who aren't going to contribute in meaningful or in quote unquote meaningful ways and just take up resources? Yes. Do I give a shit? No, because no child should have to go without that.
No,
as somebody who grew up with like that, no other children should have to deal with that. And if it means that some 20 something is just going to spend all of their time getting high and watching movies and doing nothing else beyond that, that's cool. Fine. Well, good for them.
Well, you just got to look at it this way. There's going to come a point where everybody is going to be made obsolete anyhow, but they're going to still be around. So UBI has to exist just because are we going to go Brazil and send BOPA squads out into the slums?
Yeah. So it's kind of piggy off that. The last job that I had, I was working at a car manufacturer, and we talked with the engineers, mm-hmm. and because they were working on improving the processes, and the amount of mental gymnastics that we had to do to tell them that this wasn't a thing that could be automated, even though it absolutely could.
Yes.
It is just bonkers.
Which reminds me of another movie that should qualify for 90 for chill, Death Race 2050 with Malcolm McDowell and Yasmin Bleeth.
Okay.
It's nowhere near as good as Death Race 2000 with David Carradine and Sylvester Stallone.
But you just saying those names the way you did, yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yes, but it's fun because this comes, it actually, besides for just like, oh yeah, we should just in a rollerball sense, like Rollerball is a must-see movie. 1975 James Caan, not 2002 Chris Klein.
Oh, that makes me sad. I like Chris Klein.
I think he got a bad rap, and I think it may have been just because of Roller.
Wild West.
Chris Klein was in Wild Wild West.
Yeah, he played the scientist.
Kevin Klein.
Okay, never mind. I was
Chris Klein is from American Pie, who was in the relationship with Mina Savari.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. So you mean the real dad, the biological father of what's her name?
Amanda Seyfried?
No.
Oh.
The one who was married to Tom Cruise.
Oh, Katie Holmes.
Katie Holmes, yeah. The actual biological father of Katie Holmes' first child. Yes.
Oh, that, yeah. Yes, that's... No, I've heard that one, but yeah.
There's no proof to... I have no proof of this, but nobody can convince me otherwise.
Hey, we're doing a podcast. The podcast is on the internet. You don't need proof. If you can't get on YouTube, you can get on Telegram.
Yeah.
And sadly, the society will protect people who watch Telegram videos at work instead of somebody who does a quarter of all your work. I digress. I'm not mentioning employers yet.
NDAs to expire.
Oh, there's no NDAs. It's basically like I got fired from my bank job because I wrote about customer experiences and experiences with coworkers, not mentioning any names, not mentioning the bank's name.
Uh-huh.
But they thought they wanted to get rid of me after I took a stance in my annual review of like, how can we fix things? No. How can we make things better? Well, I'll tell you how you can make things better.
Yeah, they don't want, they don't actually want to hear solutions. They want to hear that you're loyal to the company no matter right. how they abuse yep. you.
So yeah, that, which is so,
another big problem that I
have. I will I well no I I'd say I'd give them credit, but if I do that, that could affect.
Yeah, they could come after you for that just because well, no, you mentioned them.
No, hey, I fortunately had a part-time job with a great company. I've mentioned them on the podcast. That would be Best Buy. Now, I understand.
I worked for Best Buy too.
Yeah. Well,
that's a point in my life.
Continue. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I've been work like, hey, unfortunately, we live in a society where a 50-hour work week is probably the best thing to do for yourself if you don't have a degree.
Yeah,
and that's what I do. And Best Buy was more than happy to help me out when things looked like they were going to absolute hell. So I understand, and I'll say I understand anybody who says anything against them, and I hate to toe the company line. I know why, and I know that's bullshit both ways. I'm going to say that. And now I better go and nail this marketing job interview on Monday with all that said.
Yeah, best of luck with that.
I don't know. Like, that now I'm going to just shut the hell up. I'm on my second drink and I pour heavy. Oh,
that's so fair. That's fair.
Second drink. And there was a shot of Malort involved. So,
oh, well, there you go.
I don't know, Malort.
You were making sure.
I don't know, Malort a thing in Peoria yet? Or
wait, I'm sorry, what's that?
Malort. It's a Chicagoland alcohol that's kind of making its way around.
Is not pronounced Merlot?
No, Malort. M-A-Lort.
Okay.
So this was like a right. So when I was ahead of the curve on this one. It was like a rite of passage for professional wrestlers in Chicagoland. Hey, are you going to do a shot of Malort? We'll throw some Tabasco sauce in it.
Oh my God. Okay.
And sure. I took it. This isn't that bad. I don't know what people are bitching about. It was probably best described by my best friend as it smells of flowers and tastes of rotten meat. And she ran for freaking representative for my district and couldn't win. I just don't we gotta help Stephanie Smith. We got a lot of drama between me and her. We're on the estranged level, but
it'd be like that sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I trust her with power. Don't wow. you know, Don't trust her with my feelings, but
I've been there.
Yeah. All right. We really need to get on track with this podcast. So I'm going to just go. And
I think that we're so thoroughly off the rails that we could just call it here.
Well, let's see. Too much Satanism or not, too much drama. I brought up that may have been better served from the family's perspective. Like, they're so incompetent that it's like, that's where I get the Home Alone vibes. It's not because of having to survive. Like, if you want a great having to survive movie, You're Next, from 2011, 2013. I've done a podcast about it. I am just so happy that when I'm like, okay, well, I better put a trailer for this horror movie on my podcast. And it's like, my gosh, the only trailer I could find features Lou Reed's Perfect Day. As a Trainspotting fan, there's nothing better. I did say could have used a dead dog. That's just something I like to joke about on my podcast. I guess something that I do see is it's really too easy to rely on Satanism as equaling wealth.
Yeah.
I mean, I think people are evil enough on their own. They don't need a little guy on their right shoulder. The irony of that, isn't it?
I see. So I kind of disagree on that. However, what I mean by that is don't actually have Satan show up. Like, I think the movie would have been better had they not blown up. It would have been less cathartic.
I don't know. Yeah, you're right about less cathartic, but the sheer fact that we have just everybody exploding was so much fun.
Yeah, exactly. But attribute it to something else, not to Satan. make it so that way Satan is not.
Like
you said, have it be because of their incompetence, not because of.
Okay, yeah, we could work with the incompetence.
Yeah.
So basically, a Latin slip up during their satanic ritual.
Yeah. And then Odin shows up and is like, you rang, and then just smack and decimates them.
Okay.
Because he was paying attention and was just like, oh, I was just waiting for you to call me, you sons of bitches.
Okay.
Have the Allfather show him what for.
Yeah, well, and I'm disappointed that American God, Stars, quit sending me emails. You don't have American Gods any longer. I'm not interested. And this is coming from a professional wrestler who should love the concept of heels. Mm-hmm. But here's something I thought about with my last watch. Mm-hmm. Maybe Alex could have been upfront about the Satanism. She's a tough ass bitch. I think that could have been a selling point.
You're not wrong there. So the thought that I just had was and I might actually write this movie now that I'm thinking about it.
If you need somebody, I've got my screenplay I've been trying to pitch for God knows how many years.
Oh, what is it? Something of the Dead, right?
Main event of the dead
or something. Yeah. Yes, okay, there we go. We've talked about it literally every time. But no, like how I would rewrite this story is at the end have them successfully kill her, but then a Valkyrie shows up and is just like, hey, Satan's not real, but Thor is, and he's pissed that you just killed one of his most respected warriors.
I think we're gonna have to go and put that in Nakatomi Plaza. We need a lot more playground for that.
Oh, I agree. That's how I rewrite the ending in order to make it legally distinct. Then we turn it into Die Hard.
Oh no, I guess now that I really feel like it, it's like people say Home Alone with all the house bollocks in it. And it's like, no, I think it's L backs up the Die Hard. And that's another bit of research I've been doing, actually. So, all right. Otherwise, best wardrobe decision, mustard colored Chuck Taylors. I mean, I've been fighting the urge to buy those because nobody's buying mustard colored Chuck Taylors.
No.
They're usually $10 cheaper. It's like, I got Chucks for every kind of possible thing I'd wear. And it's like, I don't know about mustard, but yeah, I mean, Samara Weaving makes them work.
Yeah. Then again, I think Samara Weaving could make an orange poncho work. So.
Well, that's something we'll have to work on for the next script. we're getting there. We're coming up with something. I did have a idea of a zombie diehard where it's basically our protagonist accidentally kill a door-to-door salesman who's got stuff like the ShamWow and the Slap Shop and using those, the Sonic Blade, using those to kill zombies as they try to work their way up to a penthouse.
That actually sounds amazing. Not gonna lie.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm still trying to figure out where the third movie in the zombie trilogy is. But
no.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I wrote my legitimate I was in the process of doing my legitimate professional wrestling trilogy, and then it's like I started watching trauma movies. It's like, no, let's just make these fast. Fast, yeah. And cheap. That's the way to go. Not indie and full of heart and stuff that's not going to be appreciated.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think I went through all the notes. I had talking points, so I think we are good to go.
Yeah.
With this silly conversation that it was. Yeah. So, I mean, Ready or Not, despite I don't think it's as great, I'd say, as You're Next. It's got rewatchable value to it, which I can't necessarily, like, do I want to watch You're Next again? Oh, yes, please. But, I mean, hey, a Barbara Crampton horror movie, there's tons of rewatchability there. I mean, I'll put up with Chopping Mall again just for a laugh. No, there's a lot. This is a smarter movie. It could have probably been I don't know. It's one of those, like, really, come on, people. You realize what you have here, sell it, and it could have probably been improved upon that. See, it kind of sucks that it has such a great cast and everything, because it goes back to Evil Dead. Like, Evil Dead doesn't really exist. Evil Dead 2 is when they perfected it.
Yeah.
So it's like,
like, even in the fiction of the universe, like, Evil Dead 1 kind of didn't happen. Evil Dead 2 just kind of, like, etch-a-sketch that.
Right. And it's like, okay, we have a great premise, and it's like, I don't want to wait 10 years for another Ready or Not.
Yeah.
Like, we could do this. We could do this perfect. We know we have the knowledge, but
we have the knowledge. We have the technology.
But yeah. Unfortunately, 20th Century Fox is bought by Disney.
Yeah.
So so that's one thing I did wonder about.
Yeah.
With the DeLomas, what they call them, prefer to call themselves? I can't recall. Like, she said Empire.
The DeLomas Dominion.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, I knew what you were talking about immediately.
Right. Okay. All the heirs are dead except for Grace.
Yeah, in theory she's the only one left,
so we have a sequel right there. Does she get corrupted? I mean, we gotta wait 20 years for that one, but
yeah,
it's there.
I don't know if anybody's gonna come back to this. I've been proven wrong before, but yeah, I don't think so. I think that it's a pretty self-contained story, and it's pretty done.
Yeah.
But I, again, they made a sequel to the Met, or they made a fourth Matrix movie. So I guess anything's possible.
Well, I mean, the fourth Matrix was dealt in a total world of fiction to begin with.
Yeah.
There's no ties to reality.
Yeah.
This is, I guess, whenever you light up a cigarette to close a movie, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm
gonna, wham bam, thank you, ma'am. You know,
well, like, I'm just gonna go back to Heathers.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen Heathers?
I have not seen Heathers in a very long time.
All right.
Like, I'm pretty sure I was still single digits when I watched it last.
Okay, well, I was,
because my mother did not care about
believe me, we had that the Ghostbusters episode we did. Well, it was basically Christian Slater goes and blows himself up, but asks Winona Ryder, you know, what would you do, and she just goes and lights a cigarette up before he blows himself up. So when it ends with somebody lighting up a cigarette, it's over. I don't want to advocate smoking, but Hey,
it's very bad for you, but it's also dramatic. Like,
yeah, well, you know what? It's not like, I mean, I've haven't actively smoked in 16 years, what have you, but it's like, it's not like I don't roll over after some intimacy and go for a marble red. Like,
no.
It just feels right in certain places.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I am a social drinker / smoker. It, like, I don't want a cigarette until I see somebody with a cigarette. I don't want a drink until I see somebody with a drink.
I'll drink for the sake of drinking, but no, when it comes to like, I wouldn't own a vape pen if it wasn't for, you know what? Some strawberry banana vapor does sound nice right now.
No.
So, and that's the social, like, I was very lucky. Well, I don't know if I was very lucky because it was a bunch of heroin addicts that ended up making me quit smoking. And I've got a story about wrestling's biggest Islamic wrestler ending up resulting in me eating more pork. So I got a lot of weird tales.
But, that's fair.
Yeah. So that's for another podcast. So if you have an idea of what you want to do next, I'm all ears. Trying to limit up, you know, I'm trying my best to kind of go with the how did this get made format of, you know, well, in the sense of mini episodes, you know.
Yeah.
Like, not expect, because, hey, it's tough expecting people to always be ready with content.
Yeah.
You know, you got to do it on yourself. You got to do it by yourself. So, but yeah, love to talk to you again about a movie. And, as I say, if you listen to the episodes, I am trying to bend these rules about the 100 minute cap. Like, I'll watch a movie that, 148 minutes. It's from after 2010. How much is it guys doing CG work?
No.
If there's no post credits, I'm going to count it under, like,
yeah,
I'm going to count it under 100. So.
That's fair.
Pandorum didn't work out, but The Last Starfighter did. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. But
I don't have anything in mind right now. Just because, although have you done an episode on War Inc. yet?
No, I have not. I got to do some math. I'm going to end up having to do some math on that one because. Okay. But yeah, same thing with Gross Point Blank.
I love Gross Point
Blank. Yeah, there's a, like, well, and I'm a kid who grew up with at least listening to that music. let me see. I'm just pulling up War Inc. right now.
I did not look at the runtime.
Yeah, so. War Inc. 147 minutes, maybe. I'll have to watch that. Let me go and put Gross Point Blank, 147 minutes. He's pushing it, Cusack.
Damn it, Cusack. You're not fitting our format.
Like, somebody I was flirting with on Tinder, like, well, that's a vaguely specific podcast. Like, how do you be vaguely specific? Like,
no.
It's not, like, dude, it's... Chris Hardwick did promote this on the ID10T podcast, Stanley Tucci episode. It's like, oh, I totally agree. 90 minutes is right.
Yeah.
So that's all you have to know about this podcast. It's like,
yeah.
Look, 2 hours is too long. Like, as I say, there's,
yeah, that's fair.
You know, there's a point, like, how long do you expect that girl next to you to put up with this stuff before you chill?
Fair.
Very fair. Right. I mean, Never mind.
Although I brought somebody, this is true. I brought somebody to watch Endgame with me who had not really seen any of the Marvel movies, and they sat and watched me watch this movie for 2.5 hours. So there are exceptions to every
rule. Oh no, there are. I've only had 3 girlfriends total. One was junior high, so that hardly counts. The second one was out of partial hospitalization for depression, so outpatient psych ward. And that movie was The Reaping with David Morrissey. I didn't think it was a shit movie, but we ended up moving in together. But then again, that didn't work out as well as my last relationship with Allie of Allie's Accessory Shop on Etsy. And yes. Hey, if she's buying movies for me to watch, I saw this.
No. Absolutely return the favor there.
Right. But first movie we saw on a date was The Nice Guys with Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling.
Huh. Oh, yeah.
So right. She did not dig a movie that made asparagus jokes, if you know what I'm getting at. So it's a party in Los Angeles and there's a line in it. I told him, if you want to do that, you can't eat asparagus that night. So we'll leave it at that. So do you have anything you want to plug, Mr. Dubois?
I'm on Twitter a little bit more than I have been in
the past. I have noticed that. Gentle them Avell. Yes.
And I'm also trying to Twitch stream a little bit more. I've been playing some games and such. Now that I am kind of committed to the course of action that I am at now, I have more free time. So
right,
well, I'm gonna actually try and do semi-productive things that make me happy.
Things may have went the crap for me, but hey, I had savings fortunately, and so I'm doing okay all things considered. And this is the stuff you got to look forward to, is just be your creative outlets, be it complaining about freaking campers, I guess. I don't know. I play Pokemon, so if I'm on Twitch, it's not going to be worth it. I'm sorry. My tattoo artist, Eric Durst, a.k.a. Nose at Twisted Visions in Peoria Heights, does a lot of first-person shooter Twitch, so...
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm right now I am playing Genshin Impact, which is the most anime game I've ever played.
But I've heard great things about it, but I have Breath of the Wild. I have a Switch.
I don't have Breath of the Wild anymore. And mostly because I played it on a roommate's Switch and I beat it to 100%.
But that's what I've heard Genshin Impact's a lot like.
Oh, it's 100. No, it's absolute, like, when they announced it, people were like saw the trailer and they're like, oh, so you ripped off Breath of the Wild, and the game company did not deny that. And yeah, it's very Breath of the Wild, or it's basically if Breath of the Wild and what, like Destiny had a baby. I would say. But also it's a character RPG, which I don't know if they're pretty big for like mobile games where like you're not playing one character, playing a group of characters and they all level up individually.
I had a lot of people playing, a lot of my coworkers at the bank, they weren't wasting the institution's funds talking about the Marvel RPG they've got.
That's perfect, exactly. Okay. Like that.
Right.
I haven't thought about that game in, since I like stopped playing it.
Yeah.
But,
so
but yeah, oh, no, it's yeah. I'm sorry, continue.
Oh no, you're good. So
but yeah, I've been playing that, and I've been lately I've been obsessed with 7 Days to Die.
I've heard of it. I'm not necessarily familiar.
It is like a survival game a la like Ark. It's basically Ark with zombies instead of dinosaurs.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's Ark Survival Evolved is what it's called.
Somebody at Best Buy was always saying, oh, if you like Minecraft, go and get Ark.
That is a recommendation that they made. I think that the continuation of that should be, if you liked Minecraft but you really wished it made you hate your life more, you should play Ark.
Okay. Well, I don't want to go and be judgmental about a coworker. I saw where that got me. So at my other job. So, well, she doesn't work there anymore, but I gotta learn my boundaries regardless. Because I stopped and thought about it, like, how could the bank do this to me? And then it's like, well, remember the wrestling promotion that did that to you? It's like, well, I still mentioned everything, every detail about that promotion, though. So,
yeah.
So, all right. But if you're to close out, you can follow me at CatBusRuss. That's my primary Twitter. If you want to send podcast hate, do it there so you don't screw up my algorithms. Rate and subscribe. Rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can find all my works at maineventofthedead.com. And if you want to be at a guest on the podcast, feel free to contact me on Twitter again at CatBusRuss, or you can send an email to rustthebus07@gmail.com. That's RUSSTHEBUS07@gmail.com. Just send me a movie, a director, an actor, a theme, and I'm sure we can make some podcast gold, like what we've just created with one Michael Dubois tonight. Thanks again, Michael, for all your help.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk shit about movies and political things.
Yes. Well, as I say, we start with a movie. I don't care where it goes afterwards.
Fair.
As long as we're trying to destroy the proletariat, be it communism or fascism.
Backwards. No, we want to unite the proletariat against the bourgeoisie.
Thank you. No,
you're fine.
That's why I have guests on the show, to make sure I don't screw up too bad.
and of course, to close out, we want to say, workers of the world unite. You have nothing to lose except for your chains. Okay.
Continue. Yes. Nope. That's very solid. And I'm just going to go and send my traditional, traditional thank you to one, Stacia Marie Harden, who, makes sure I stay in check, regardless of her existence on the, whatever spiritual plane, and I'm glad that she's still helping out everybody who she touched in her life. So thanks again, Michael, and I look forward to podcasting again.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, so let me where is that record button? Oh, there it is.
Can I hear a wahoo?